welcome to this edition of Club Talk, the new club's fortnightly podcast. Today I'm very pleased to be interviewing Jane Moyle. Jane's been a member of the new club since 2018, since she and her husband Bill retired to Cheltenham from Herefordshire. What we ask all of our interviewees, Jane, is why did you choose Cheltenham?
I've always loved Cheltenham all my life. It's my sort of London, you know, and I just love the architecture particularly and the elegance of the town and the people that live here. And of course, the restaurants help, but also my daughters live here with their, and my son lives up the road, and with their many grandchildren, it was obviously the place where we should finally retire to.
So prior to Cheltenham, you were in Herefordshire. Perhaps we'll hear a bit more about that later. But you were in the Midlands also, where Bill was a successful lawyer in Birmingham. So right at the beginning, Jane, you were wife and mother of four children, busy organising your home and lunches and dinners for all your local friends. So what happened that made you embark on what became a highly successful business?
Well, we moved to Worcestershire in 1975. To a family house with our four young children. And Bill decided to discover where we lived. So he planned a week of tours for the whole family. And I came back absolutely entranced by what we discovered. The Shakespeare land of Stratford, the beautiful Cotswolds. We've discovered vineyards and cider mills and the Falconry Centre, which was only just beginning in those days, and as well as fortified manor houses and castles. And of course, I was a townie, suddenly seeing the countryside with a fresh eye. And I thought there must be thousands of people that didn't know these places existed. So that's really what gave me my original idea.
That was your sort of aha, eureka moment, one way or another. So what was the first thing you did?
I went to the local prestige hotel in our area, the Elms at Abberley, and persuaded the manageress to let me take around their American visitors. It was then the Queen's Silver Jubilee in 1977. And I was amazed when she said, yes, it would be wonderful to have an expert to show people around. Well, I'm afraid I was no expert. I then had to come back and get off on the end of my kitchen table with a whole heap of Ladybird books. It's the only thing I could think of. And I had to learn everything myself in case I was asked these terrible questions, which I had no idea what the answer was. I mean, I'm the biggest fake that ever lived, I can tell you, Mary. anyway, there we are. And then I got permission from the insurance company to let me have a go at this. Again, they were intrigued by this novel idea. And these two people gave me my first chance in my career. Without them, it wouldn't have happened. But my aha moment, as you're probably going to ask me, was if I was them, the one thing I'd want to do more than anything would be to meet the people that lived here. And so I set up by getting a network of manor houses and small stately homes, which I knew were never open to the public, to which I could take my clients to for coffee, lunch and tea as their guests. And this is when I started doing this. And of course, they loved it more than anything.
I'm sure they did. I mean, particularly the American market, because so originally, Jane, it was just for one or two visitors taken round in your own car. And you saw the potential after this to move into even bigger groups and perhaps even using small coaches or coaches instead of cars. But you wanted to be really strong and keep your objective of ensuring that you offered an exclusive, that was very much your base of everything you were doing, an exclusive experience. So here you are, a trailblazer, an entrepreneur, creating a market that was absolutely in its infancy at that time. But your fledgling business, you found ground, not really to a halt, but in the winter months, the tourists went home, so there wasn't so much to do. So you weren't disheartened, but at that time you decided to plot and plan for the next part of your growth.
Yes, I did. I went to all the big prestige hotels in the Cotswolds, the Ligon Arms, Dormy House, the Stratford Hilton, as it was then, Metropolitan Birmingham, and many other hotels, and offered to show around their conference wives, which of course was very big in the 80s and 90s, or 70s, 80s and 90s. They were bringing these wives and they didn't know what to do with them. And sometimes a few men were there too. So, I mean, one of the houses which was a great success was Worthington Grange near Broadway, which had been the home of the late General Lord Ismay, who was Churchill's chief of staff and Secretary General of NATO. And to my delight, when I first went there, the door was opened by none other than Albert, the butler, his butler, who was still being kept on by the family. And he was there still in his morning coat and his striped trousers, and a most charming man you could ever meet. And of course, once my clients met him, and of course the Honourable Mrs. Evarts, they were just knocked out by all this, because there was an original Churchill picture which the family owned. There were private letters from the Queen to Lady Ismay on the death of her husband, and so many wonderful treasures. And I mean, it was just such a unique experience for most of my clients, because they'd never seen anything like this before. And there was Lord Needpath down the road at Stanway, who was eccentric and delightful, but he always wore a Victorian frock coat, sometimes with his elbows out, and always a frilly shirt with a bow tie. And underneath all that was always a pair of blue jeans. But he was so funny and so clever, and his house was packed with the most wonderful furniture you could ever see. You'd never see anything like it. It'd been there for hundreds of years, and it was just fabulous. They just loved it, and that it went on like that, really.
During this time, I think one of your sons joined the business because it was getting too big. You weren't managing on your own. You had actually started to employ tour guides to support you, but you had very exacting requirements for those tour guides, I'm quite sure. So one son joined you, and then another at a slightly later stage. And you actually named your company, you branded your company, Moyle's Master Key.
Yes, but that's with my sons. They both needed a job, I have to tell you, at the time. And it didn't work out terribly well with me and my eldest son. So I decided, but he came back to me with such wonderful ideas. I saw we had the basis for another company, which was the proper incentive and motivation market. Because we would then began to use the estates of these houses on which, if you like, to play. And he devised vintage car treasure trails. And he found tanks and Lamborghinis. This was on a proving ground in Leicestershire, and double-decker buses and so on, and every man's fantasy vehicle to drive. I also did murder weekends for the corporate market, the first one called Murder, naturally, in the Grand Manor. And then we did evening programmes, and it gradually got bigger and bigger. But the estates of these houses were also being now used for these activities. And of course, that helped everyone's money as well, including the owners, who were very hard up at the time due to high taxation. And we were all doing quite well out of it.
And Jane, you were also working with conventions and very large organisations in the Midlands at that time.
Yes, we did. And they gradually started using us more and more for doing their own events in other parts of the country. And I got into London, and I was pretty pleased in 1997 to be the first company allowed into the Foreign Office without the sponsorship of a government minister. That was quite a one-off. Then we started launching cars. I launched the Mini for BMW in 95, 97, 98. That was all over the country. And I did, and of course, one of the best things we ever did was the opening of Glaxo Wellcome's Medical Research Centre at Stevenage, which the Queen and Prince Philip came to open. That was then the largest building in Europe, apart from the Channel Tunnel. So that was a very massive job, but it seemed to work. So, very lucky.
Yes, not just lucky, I don't think, Jane. You have very skills at this in this area. But also your success was recognised in other ways too. You were named as Midlands Businesswoman of the Year, which must have been really quite an accolade, and I'm sure well-deserved. You gave motivational talks in clubs to small groups. And you also, I remember you saying that you talk to your old school about the successes, encouraging young people to follow their dreams.
That was the biggest day of my life, to be asked to go back to your old school to present the prizes. And my old headmistress was sitting in the audience. And I, as I was pretty pleased because I was hopeless at school. I'd left with 5 O-levels and she never believed in me, but she did that that day. That was a good moment, I must admit, if I'm honest.
that was a wonderful moment. So on Bill's retirement in 2001, Jane, you were still exceedingly busy in running your business, but you had had an incredible life. I think probably something you couldn't have envisaged when you sat at the kitchen table with a pen and a notepad and decided what you were going to do, which is really amazing. So you decided to retire too, and you moved to Herefordshire together, and you began a new chapter in your life.
I did.
But I do think, Jane, that you were a real entrepreneur. You didn't have a corporate blanket around you. You actually did it yourself. You started with an idea and then you developed it, and it became extremely successful and recognised as such. So thank you very much for sharing this part of your life with us. But before you go, you must please choose a piece of music to end our chat and to tell us why this has a special meaning to you.
And I'd like to choose Morgen by Richard Strauss, because Bill and I heard sung by Elizabeth Schwarzkopf, if possible, a very old recording, I'm afraid. But Bill and I were lucky enough to actually hear her singing it in person at one of her farewell concerts at Birmingham Town Hall, I think probably about 1965 or something like that. But she was entrancing and magical and wonderful. And it is, in fact, a love song which Richard Strauss wrote to his wife on the day after their wedding, and I think it's always been the most dear piece that Bill and I have always shared together. And in view of the present circumstances, I think it's highly appropriate that I should play this for Bill.